Worked out. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin reading, if you will, please. Notice, if you would, in verse 76. Verse 76. Where we are in the story is this is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He has just had his tongue loosened, whereas by the judgment of God, he was made dumb. He was made dumb. He was not able to speak because of his unbelief. And the story, we'll talk more about it a little later, but Zacharias, he just had a hard time understanding how it is that his older wife, Elizabeth, both of them being up in years, how she could have a baby. And, of course, it's been precedented. I mean, Abraham and Sarah did it. And he just had cause to doubt. Well, when that doubt came, God, really, in a sense, tied his tongue. He couldn't speak. People marveled at the fact that here's the priest, Zacharias, and he couldn't speak. And then God, because of his faith and belief in God, we'll find later, he was loosened, all right? His tongue loosened. And when his tongue was loosened, he just goes right into preaching. I mean, it's like having a preacher holding off, you know, tied up, and let him loose, let him preach. And that's what happened. And so, boy, he just comes out, begins to praise the Lord, begins to prophesy. And then at the point of this prophecy, it's as if he picks up the baby. Looks right at John. John the Baptist. He just names the child. And look what he says in verse 76. And thou, child, so you know who he's talking to here, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's that peace again we were singing about earlier. We were guided to this peace. Verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Notice here as the prophesying of Zacharias, saying it really in direct address to the child or unto the child, he mentions something that is absolutely fabulous in the light of the true Christmas story, the theme, if you will, of Christmas itself. It's in verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. He is basically saying to this little child that he's holding in his arms, he just named him John. We know him as John the Baptist. He's basically saying, son, you're going to be the one that's going to go before this one who by the mercies of God, the dayspring has come from on high and hath visited us. That is the true Christmas story. Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing greater about Christmas than the idea that God came to us. We couldn't climb to God. We couldn't impress God. We all fell short of His glory. So what did He do? He left His glory and came to us. He came to us, and the Bible says in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness. And that's a great picture of redemption. That is it. It's the darkness of a time and a world that all of a sudden is illuminated by a ray of hope. And that ray of hope is Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for this time of year that I have something truly to worship God about. It's more than just getting caught up in the festivities of the season. And, you know, it's not like you have to get the thing you're hoping and wishing for. Or you're hoping to, you know, to just this year's going to be different. And no. As a child of God, we truly have something to worship and thank Him for, because He's brought to us a light. We're no longer sitting in darkness. We're no longer trying to find our way. His light has guided us to the way of peace, something this world does not have. And I'm so grateful for this beautiful passage of Scripture that opens to us an incredible view of what Christmas is really all about. It's the mercies of God by which the day spring from on high has visited all of us. Let me ask you a question. Were you in the dark last night? You say, what do you mean? The power went out last night. How many of you, your power went out last night? Was it just our neighborhood? Oh, no, it's a few others. Okay. Big storm came through. I don't know what happened. Might have been an accident. Might have been a tree fell over. You can tell me later if you heard the news. But our entire neighborhood, which consists, I believe, close to 200 homes, the whole thing was just black and dark. And the power went out. Praise the Lord, the Tennessee game was already over. Hallelujah. I didn't miss anything. Then we're in the dark and we're all scurrying around trying to figure out where our lights are. So we start pulling out our phones, you know, and trying to light the place. And then my wife, she finds where the candles are on the dining room table and calms all fears with the striking of a match and lighting it. And, oh, we've got light now. Everything's going to be okay. And it was great. It was great. Until Renee finds one of Mitchell's slippers. You ever seen those slippers? They're, you know, for wearing around the house, and they're in the size about this big. They're the claws like the barefoot. You ever seen the bear paws? Yeah, got some. Well, he has a couple of bear paws. He walks around the house in. Well, he left one right in the middle of the floor. We're in the dark, and she steps on it. You know, she thinks it's a creature, and it's interesting. But the light brought all of this to safety, and fear subsided. And there's something about light that just calms fears. And basically, last night, we were in the dark probably till about 5-ish, 5:30 this morning. And the lights come back on, you know, bright, and we're all turning them back off. But we were in a power outage last night, and they finally got it fixed, and so lights on again. But this brings me to this idea. Christ is known as the day spring. The day spring. The springing of, or the dawning of a day. When Jesus came to this earth, it was the dawning of a day. I want to preach a series of messages throughout the book, or throughout the month, rather, of December, known as The Lord is Come. The Lord is come. That's the great message of Christmas. That's what we worship and sing about. The idea that joy to the world. Why? The Lord is come. The dawn of redeeming grace has now arose from and out of the darkness, and now bringing light to this world. I'm so thankful for this. Notice, if you would, verse 68. The Bible says in Luke 1:68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people." The Lord is come. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for the Christmas story. So grateful for the breaking of the night. The rise of the day star. Lord, thank You that we don't sit in darkness. We don't wonder what's wrong or what's happened. We know there's One who sits on the throne, and He loves us, and He came to us, and He has peace, and He has a message of redemption, and He has, Lord, salvation for all who will look to Him. Thank You, Lord, for being our day spring. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, amen. In this, the Lord is come, I want you to notice several things that we find in the early stages of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1. The first thing we notice is that silence is broken. The silence is broken. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the 400 plus years of silence. You have the last of the Old Testament prophets given the last of God's Word in the Old Testament, and then we went through years and centuries of nothing. Nothing. A silence. And in that period of silence, several things happen. Judaism, the ones who were known as the true believers of Jehovah God, they go into apostasy. The worship of the temple is desecrated by foreign powers. Rome has now come in and has since ransacked all of the area and is now in domination and control. And the hope and the dream of God's people ruling and reigning, there is seemingly none of that in sight. And it's truly a dark time. Again, Judaism has now gone into apostasy. People are just, they're just in the dark. This is where Pharisees and Sadducees, the scribes and all, began to rise in their religion and in their authority. They began to spread, adding to the scriptures and adding to the Bible, their traditions, and they get out of hand. Why? There's no real vision. You see, where there's no vision, the people perish. When the Word of God ceases to be given, by the way, that's what vision is. Vision is not some CEO who can just see the lay of the land and he's got this plan that's going to make us all prosper. That's not a Bible term for vision. Vision, according to the Bible, is God's Word. You don't have vision unless it's God's vision. You just have big ideas you hope to see come forth. But God has truth, and it's a light. And it's our source and our guide. It's our way of peace. And this is the vision by which the prophets came. And when they had a word from the Lord, they had a vision from God to give to God's people. But no, the vision had ceased. Now what's happened? People are perishing. Perishing in darkness. Wandering far from the fold. Where the Pharisees were so dedicated, they weren't dedicated to the vision of God. They were dedicated to their own religion. So religion is rampant. Apostasy is rampant. Sin is rampant. Foreign powers are now in control. And for the Jewish people, it's a dark time. There are a few in the dark days. They remain faithful. I want you to notice before the silence breaks, look back in chapter 1 and notice, if you would, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife, the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Watch this in verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Next word, please. Blameless. Folks, in a dark time where even the religious leaders have gotten away from the truth, there's still a remnant. There's still a few. There's still the faithful that are righteous, that are blameless, that are simply doing the commandments of God. May I say to you, no matter how dark America gets, how far the church wanders from the truth, may you, your family, your children be the people that are righteous, holy, and faithful to Christ all the way to the end. And it is possible. It is possible to follow God, to walk with Him, and be right in the sight of God in the darkest and most sinful eras of history. You can still be faithful. You can still do the right thing. You can still hold your head up with hope and joy in your soul that while nobody else is interested and everybody's dying, you can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Oh, listen, the Bible says, blessed is the man. You want a blessed family? You want God to help you? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, while nobody else is interested, you can still be one that'll stay faithful to God's word and be in what God wants you to be. And while there may be desert lands among your friends, peers, and the rest of this world, you can still be an oasis locked into the source of God's strength and the source of God's power by the word of that precious Bible that you have. What am I saying? There's no excuse not to live for God. Well, you know, everybody else is, who cares? If you've got the Bible, you have no excuse not to follow God. You have everything you need. You say, well, churches today are changing. My Bible hasn't changed. I just stay with it. Want to remain faithful. Well, I have failed. Look in the Bible and you'll find hope to get right back up and go again. You don't quit because everybody else has quit. You don't stop because nobody else is interested. You don't lose what you know to be right and true and holy just because all of society has turned its back on God. And I'm afraid that's happened. I'm seeing it all around me. I'll go to places that used to be powerhouses for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about homes. I'm talking about families that once were people who were faithful to God's house, faithful to be right and holy, faithful to take a stand, faithful to be different, daring to be different. But oh, they've gotten their cues now from the world and they've been drugged down. They're like Samson, who had a great start, but he's being pulled from every which direction by his own lust and sin. Next thing you know, he has not the strength that he once had. We have no excuse, though. We have this precious book that gives us the story of those in a dark time. And in this dark time, this darkness is broken. Look how it's broken. Verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel. Wow. In this dark time, silence for 400 plus years, all of a sudden, angel appears, and now it's on. It's gone. It's really on now. We're moving. This thing of God's redemption and its plan is now put into full gear. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, Galatians 4:4. This is now the fullness of time. It is now, in a sense, like a clap of thunder and strike of lightning. Here's Gabriel. He's in our presence now. Silence has been broken. A word has come from God. Silence is broken. I want you to understand something about this silence, and then we're going to go home. Number one, understand this silence came out of nowhere. Just imagine it. No, out of nowhere. But watch this. It came out of nowhere by the mercy and plan of God. You say, what do you mean? They weren't expecting it. They may have been praying for it and knew the Bible taught it, but it just all of a sudden happened. Do you know a lot of the working of the Holy Spirit will come by surprise? Now, I'm talking about the moment He comes. I think folks can pray and wait on God and look to Him and claim His promises, and when God comes through, there will be a happy reception of that, but the actual coming of it is one of a great surprise. Because why? It's almost like you get rocked to sleep or lulled to sleep, and all of a sudden when God does come forth, you're like, you're shocked. Well, you shouldn't be shocked. You should know God's faithful. But when it happens, it's still just a shocking matter. It's out of nowhere, if you will. Kind of like that deer I hit last Tuesday night. He came out of nowhere. Scary business. This angel comes out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. And here stands Gabriel. Interesting about this silence being broken. It was accompanied by faithful praying. Notice if you would in verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So the coming of this angel, when does it come? It comes when people are faithfully in temple worship and folks are faithfully praying. Faithfully praying. It's interesting. That's how the Holy Spirit came. Remember how they were in the upper room, 120 of them, and they were all in one accord praying? God's people must pray. If there's to be a visitation, God's people must pray and be faithful. It's those who have turned away and said, I've got bigger things to do, more important things to do. They'll not experience the visitation. Be faithful to pray. Don't give up on God. And by the way, this surprise, this appearing, may I say to you, it was of mercy. Notice, if you would, back in our text verse, as I read earlier in verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God. Back up to now verse 54. This is Mary's song after she learns she's conceived a child by the Holy Ghost. Verse 54. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. This out of nowhere comes to us by the mere and pure mercies of God. Silence is broken. Why? God's merciful. He just comes on the scene right when you needed Him. Number two, understand it was accompanied by prayer. By prayer. Now number three, it comes and leaves people marveling at the work of God. Notice, if you would, when the angel appeared to Zacharias, that there were many there praying. And then the whole work of God comes to when God judges Zacharias. What happens to the people? Look in verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Now here's what's happening. Zacharias is doing the operation of a priest. He is allowed to go into the holy place and there offer sacrifices, and he's doing his priestly duties. But he's supposed to come out at a certain time. If they didn't come out at a certain time, the first thing people imagined was he wasn't prepared to go into the holy place. He has died. You see, the priests wore garments that had little bells on them, and as long as they could keep hearing the bell moving and ringing, they knew he was alive and that there was movement and everything's okay. But Zacharias goes in there and he don't hear anything. He's struck by wonder and fear looking at Gabriel. You would too if you saw an angel out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, because of his disbelief, he's then made dumb, and the whole process of this has taken quite some time. And so the people are marveled, like, he must have died. Then when he does come out, being that it's ill-timed, when he does come out, he no longer can speak. And they're wondering what has just happened to him. And then the Bible says that Zacharias tries to indicate to them what's happened. And so let's read it here just a minute. It says in verse 22, when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. He beckoned. I could just see he's kind of like, you know, doing all of the gestures, playing gestures, you know, and trying to help them to understand what's happened. You know, wings, angel, and here's what's happened to me. I can't talk. He's trying his best to help them, bring them along just to see what's happened to me. People are marveling. There's something very mysterious has just happened. They knew this was of great sort. And so you have this mystery. May I remind you that when God begins to work, it's somewhat of a mystery. There is marveling at the work of God. And may I say what a great break of silence that is? You say, what do you mean, preacher? Let me tell you something. The greatest thing that could ever happen to this church is that we get out of routine. We get out of the mundane meal and grind that we're used to. It's the daily grind that we go, and it's here and it's there. And we wake up, we go to work, we go to church, we go back home, we wake up, we put Starbucks in there somewhere, and we go to bed, and we wake up, and then we go back to work, and then it's off to church, and it's just mundane, same old, nobody changes, everybody just getting a little older day by day, and you know, what will be, will be. Don't you want to be a part of something that from heaven just interposed upon your life and your family, and because of His visitation, because of His work, because of His mercy, He has changed you. He has put you on a new course. He has given you something to sing about. You come to church and open up a hymn, and it's no longer just ho-hum. You're singing from your heart. Why? God's mercy has dealt with you. He has shown himself mighty on your behalf. And what was normal and routine has now been broken by the mysterious and holy working of God. I'm talking about something that's real here. And Christmas came into a dark time. The silence was broken. And now people are marveling. Something strange, something mysterious, something out of the norm has happened. Why? God himself in his mercy has come to his people. And when God comes to Shenandoah, it won't be, well, you know, ho-ho-hum. Life as usual. You know, I'm just going to be what I've always been. No change. That's just the way I am. Don't you just love people when they tell you that? It's their little excuse for all the things you hate about it. And their big excuse is, well, that's just the way I am. And we're all supposed to agree, well, that's fine then. Okay, just be a jerk. It's the way you are, you know. I'm being a little cute, but honestly, people will blast off in anger and let everybody have a piece of their mind and give their 2 cents worth. And then they say, well, why did you do it? That's just the way I am. And we're supposed to let you off the hook with that one? You won't have many friends being the way you are. People see you coming and go, hide behind the wall or crack the door, look in and see what kind of mood they are before you step in. You know what I'm talking about. And what do they say? Well, it's just the way I am. Somebody, they got to know everything. You know, they come up on a situation. Hey, what's going on here? And it's inquisitive mind. They got to know everything. Why? Because they got to spread it to their friends, right? They're heralds. They're the gossips. And they just got to get in on everything. Well, that's just the way they are. You can't really, they talk a lot. It's just the way they are. Well, that's, we're supposed to applaud. Say, well, that's just the way they are. You know? Oh, you can't get them to do anything. Lazy. Oh, my mom and dad used to call it lazy bones. They just got lazy bones, you know. Well, that's just the way they are. They're just not a, watch this now, just not a morning person. Or they would say, I'm really a night person. And there's truth to that. There are night people and there are morning people, and the night people can't stand the morning people. You know how that goes. I understand all of that. Then it goes a little too far with swinging that excuse going, well, they just can't get up. They just can't go to work. Well, that's just the way they are. Then you got people who are just plumb rude. Well, I just speak my mind. That may not be a good thing. We may not want to be, you know, in the know of what's in your brain. Don't put it on the screen, please. Spare us. And then there are those that are conceited. They're just conceited, and they're always right. They won't listen. You get with them, and they're the ones taking control. They got to talk. They just got to be the one that's talking. And you go, but you can't get a word in. Well, that's just the way they are. Do you know sinners are sinners because that's the way they are? Old nature's old nature because that's the way old nature and old natures are. I mean, I know there's difference in interest, and there's difference in opinions, and with that, a difference in talents and abilities. But sometimes we just want to check off and say, you know, I'm good. Because why? That's just the way I am. That's just who I am. Well, maybe you need to change who you am. And I'm going to tell you something. If God don't change us, we're not going to be blessed. We're not going to see His hand. We're going to be so locked in our own gridlock of our stubborn way, we may never see God work like He wants to work. But I'm going to tell you where God's going to work. He's going to find somebody who's on their knees. He's going to find somebody who's got enough faith, enough common sense in God to believe that God meant what He said. He's going to find somebody who is tired of the way they are and they want change and they're praying for change. They're looking for somebody who does have a little bit of vision because they've been reading and know things should be different. And inside of their heart, they're just, I mean, aching for God to do something. Listen, you come expecting God, He'll meet you there, friend, and He'll show how powerful He is in your life. and a lot of things that we just won't change. He might need to change, and you'll be happy, especially with your spouse. Especially. I'd be so happy for you to change. Oh, listen. The silence was broken. I mean, it's dark. I haven't seen a prophet in 400 years. Pharisees have got this thing figured out. We all respect and bow down to them, but it's just ho-hum, and they're elites. Everything's just kind of the way it is. And all of a sudden, appeared an angel by the mercies of God, broke through and said, in essence, it's time. It's time to get the show on the road. And it did. By the coming of John the Baptist and the conceiving by the Holy Ghost, the Son of God. Thankfully, the Lord has come. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much.